The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 106.5.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, 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 everybody out there in Radio Land. I am George Williams. It is my voice, and I'm live, even though I'm not in the studio. I'm doing a remote. Over the last few weeks, you've had Dr. Lou, and you've had, who else? Mr. Callahan, and you had a replay. So, folks, I'm so glad to be back on the air. We've got so much to talk about, and because the world under the Democratic Party is really messed up, folks, and I must admit that. So what we're going to do, we're going to start off by playing a video from Dick Morris, and we've been doing that almost every show. And please listen to Dick, because he has some very important to say. Here we go with Dick Morris.
Those who know him understand that Donald Trump is not someone to hold his cards close to his chest. He trumpets his ideas at the top of his lungs to anyone who will listen. And as we've been discussing over the course of this year, his strategy in 2024, and I've had dozens of discussions with him about that, it's become clear that we really needed to publish a book, or I needed to publish a book with his blessing, that explains what he's going to do different in the 2024 election and how he's going to win. And that's really the purpose of this book, The Return, Trump's Comeback in 2024. The essential premise of the book is that Trump is going to do things very differently in 24, a whole new playbook. First of all, he's going to go after the apathetic, uninvolved, alienated couch potatoes who don't come out to vote because they don't give a damn that the Democrats mobilized and provided their margin in 2020. We all assumed that mail-in ballots and absentee ballots were devices to commit voter fraud, and they were. But more importantly, they increased Democratic turnout by 15 million votes. In the meantime, we Republicans hustled our butts off to go get every informed, interested, involved voter we could, and we increased our vote by 11 million. But theirs prevailed. We need to adjust to the fact that rules have changed. In the new rules, everybody votes. If they're not motivated enough to come out in the rain and vote, we bring the ballot to them. And every couch potato bestirs himself when there's a knock at the door and they say, we'd like you to vote. And he says, I don't have a pen. Well, here's a pen. I don't have a ballot. Well, here's a ballot. Do I have to go outside? No, here's the ballot right here. Just drop it here. And you don't have to go upstairs and get your wallet to get your photo ID. We're not going to request it. That's how the Democrats got the 5 million extra new votes that gave them the election. And in 2024, we're going to go after the couch potato vote. We're going to go after our own people who are not sufficiently motivated, but will vote if the vote comes to them. We also are going to build on our lead with the Latino voters. Latinos have gone from being a core element of the Democratic coalition to a core element of our coalition because they're patriots and they see the left dragging this country down the same way they dragged down the countries they left, like Cuba, Mexico, Venezuela, and other Latin American countries. And they're damned if that's going to happen. They know that the U.S. is their last stop on their hope for freedom and opportunity. And they know that only Trump can restore that. We're also going to run as something that's unique, half incumbent, half challenger. We're a challenger in the sense that we'll talk about how the Democrats have screwed up the country, about inflation, about gas prices, about open borders, about rampant crime, about letting Russia push us around in Europe. But we're also going to talk as half incumbent. So when the Democrats say, hey, how do we know you'll hold down gas prices? We say, Trump did it. How do we know you'll stop inflation? The answer is, we already did it. How do we know you'll seal the border? This immigration is an intractable problem. Nonsense. We already did it. And the key to Trump's victory will be that he is half an incumbent, and he can establish with credibility that he'll solve these problems because when he was president, he did it. So if you want to understand the full game plan of how Trump is going to win, please get a copy of my book, The Return, Trump's Big Comeback Win in 2024. And a personal request, if you like the book, please send in a review to Amazon so you can share your opinion of it with other people. If you don't like the book, keep it to yourself. Thank you.
All right, folks, that was Dick Morris. And believe me, this person, this man knows what he's talking about. He is responsible for making Bill Clinton as the two-term governor of Arkansas and the two-term president of the United States. He broke off with the Clintons after President Clinton got involved with Ms. Lewinsky. So he broke away from him. And he's been a Republican now for quite a while. And he knows what he's talking about. He definitely knows. So listen to him. And there's some facts in there that he had that are very true about the voters, the Hispanic voters, the young voters. And the voters that are lagging behind are the black voters. They're on that plantation, and they're still voting, no matter how bad the Democratic Party does, they still vote for them. Let me tell you, as a black man, I tell my black brothers and sisters out there, get off of that plantation, okay? And that sinking ship, which is called the Democratic Party. This is important, folks, very important, because you're going to be left behind, my people. You're going to be left behind, okay? Now, we're going to have a couple of guests, very important guests, okay? We're going to have one in the first half an hour, and we're going to have our Secretary of State, John Maris, the second half an hour. But the first half an hour, we're going to have Mr. Pete Rehm. Everybody in Mobile knows Pete Rehm. And Pete is our candidate for Senate District 33, who has been occupied over the last 24 years by Vivian Figures, who has done nothing for her community. And fortunately, the district have expanded over to Baldwin County, all of Spanish Fort, and part of Loxley. So we are happy with that. We Baldwin counties are going to give Pete 100% of our votes. Okay. So Pete's going to be on after this break, which is be in the next minute and a half. And you'll get a chance to know Pete. As a matter of fact, you hear him on this station. Okay. So he's no stranger. He's a retired naval commander. He's involved with quite a bit in the Mobile County area. So folks, like Dick Morris said, we got to get off of our runts, and in November go out and support our Republican candidates. I think that's important, very important. Now, when I speak to John Merrill, we're going to be talking about a couple other issues relating to voting. Apparently, the Democrats are filing lawsuits about the Alabama redistricting, and I think they've got about 7 or 8 different cities to enjoin with them with that lawsuit. You know what that though? They're talking about voter, you know, they're talking about voter depression, which is bull. Okay, any American citizen in America can vote. Notice I said American citizen. You must be a citizen to vote. So they're trying to stop that, and they see it on the wall. And the Supreme Court on October 4th will hear a case that will be monumental, you know, regarding voters and who can change voting laws in the states. According to the Constitution, voter laws can only be changed by the legislatures and not the governor or the secretary of state, okay? Unlike in 2020. All right, folks, we'll be right back with our first guest after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Folks, here we go again. We're waiting for our guest, Pete Bream, to call in. But until he call in, I'll tell you a little bit about Senate District 33, okay? It's in Mobile, and now it's in part of Baldwin County in the Spanish Fort area, all of Spanish Fort and part of Loxley. And the last 24 years, Senator Vivian Figures have been sitting in that seat, okay? Now, I have a lot of relatives in Mobile. I was born in Mobile, although I left when I was a young man. So, folks, Mobile is very important, and Senate District 33 is important because, to me, the Democrats are doing nothing to help the citizens of Alabama. And the majority of my cousins really are so unimpressed with Senator Figures. Okay? So unimpressed. So we want to talk to Pete about that. And I've just told he is on the line. And let's see. Pete, are you there?
Yeah, George, how are you doing?
How you doing, Pete?
I'm good. I'm out here in Berman Hills. I'm walking the neighborhoods and knocking doors.
Great. Well, we're trying to help you.
I appreciate that very much.
All right. Pete, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, please.
Yeah, well, the folks don't know me. I'm retired Navy. I did 21 years in the Navy, and I retired here. I'm originally from Texas, but I retired here in Mobile. It was my last duty station at the Navy Marine Corps Reserve Center, Mobile. And I loved Alabama so much, I never moved back to Texas. I've basically been here for 20 years now. And since I retired in 05, I've been doing commercial real estate. Now I'm partners in a company called CRE Mobile. I've been doing commercial real estate for 17 years now here, and I love that. The Lord's blessed me greatly. I have a wonderful family, a wife, four kids, seven grandkids, and one on the way, so that'll be eight. So, I'm living the dream, and it's time to give back a little, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to run.
Great, Pete. What other reasons do you have that you decided to run for this district and for this particular seat?
Well, I've had an idea of, I mean, I've always sort of been inclined to public service, and it's been in the back of my mind, but I haven't really been seeking or thinking about it until I got redistricted in December, and I found out that a whole bunch of neighborhoods west of I-65, including mine, got put into 33, and Spanish Fort got put into 33. So those things that I've been thinking about, I said, well, you know what? Here's a seat where somebody is, the occupant is really needs to be changed out. She's been there for 25 years and doesn't do much. And that motivated me to think about it because, you know, my previous senator, he was doing a pretty good job. I didn't see any reason to mess with him. But since I got redistricted, it motivated me to think about it. And really the big things I want to go to Montgomery for is, number one, I want to reform education. We've got our education system is broken. We need school choice. We need school vouchers. We need the money to follow the child and give parents the choice and the control over their parents' education. That's the number one issue. Number two is probably infrastructure, and that we have strategic planning and we don't just build bridges and roads 20 or 30 years after we need them. We build them before we need them, and we don't overly burden the locals with tolls and all that stuff, because there is money to be had around the state and the federal government. And then third is really just an overarching. We need stronger leadership for South Alabama in Montgomery. We don't have enough advocacy for Mobile and Baldwin County and the port and all the wonderful things that are going on here. We need stronger advocacy in Montgomery for South Alabama. And that's another reason that I'm running. Those are basically the main reasons.
Okay. And that's important, Pete. And you mentioned the tolls, and a lot of people are upset with the decision that was just made recently regarding the tolls. You know, they built all those infrastructures in Birmingham, a Highway 22 from Memphis to Birmingham, and those wide roads and the bridges, and they have no tolls. So why have them down here when we pay most of the tax to the state?
Well, and that's one of the things with the stronger leadership. I mean, that's part of the strategic planning, but also stronger leadership, the statesmanship to make deals and make sure that South Alabama gets a fair shake in Montgomery, since we do provide 35 to 40% of the tax base comes out of Mobile and Baldwin counties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. What else do you want our audience to know about Pete Reams and running Senate District 33?
Well, a lot of folks think this is an uphill battle, and it is an uphill battle, but it's an impossible battle because we've been redistricted into what's a heavy Democrat district. But look, the Democrats are paying for, $4 or $5 gas just like everybody else, like the Republicans are. So they're unhappy. And they're unhappy with the same – they have the same issues with education, with crime, with the infrastructure – having their purchasing power eroded. They're unhappy, too, and I think they're looking for a change. And, after 25 years, it's time to change horses, especially when you look and go, what can you point to that's gotten better? What's been improved in 25 years for the voters? And what I would tell you is I'm getting a very good reception from everybody I talk to, regardless of whether they're Republican or Democrat or independent or swing voter or whatever. I'm getting a very good response, and we fully intend to win.
Right, Pete, and I have a lot of relatives who live in District 33, and they're very unhappy with Senator.
Well, if you've got 18,000 cousins in District 33, we've got
Well, not quite that many, but the ones that are there are very unhappy, most of them.
Right, and they're not the only ones. It's everywhere, and I think people are willing. If you will go and meet the folks and show to them that you have some competency, that you're willing to work, you're willing to study the issues, you're willing to listen to the people, and then go work for them, I think they're willing to give a person a fair shake if they're willing to do that. And I don't think they've really had that the last 25 years.
Well, that's true, because she hasn't been known to campaign in that area. It's unbelievable, but it's true.
Well, if she wants to keep that seat, she better get to campaigning. We're out here. I'm right now in the neighborhood right now knocking doors.
Right, and that's what you have to do, Pete. We're supporting you.
And I appreciate that very much, George. I appreciate your support very much.
Yeah, and I think, this election in November is going to be very important. Okay.
Yes, I think so. I think everybody's kind of hoping.
We're
going
to have our people are going to be coming out.
So hopefully we just need, if our supporters turn out to vote, we win. Because we've got the supporters. We just need to get them to turn out to vote.
Yeah, and we will. We will. We'll get them to turn out. Pete, how is the campaign going?
Well, it's good. We've been raising money and doing quite well at that. I mean, we always need more money, but, you know, we've got probably a third of what we need. So that's good. And we haven't really started the fundraising part. We've just been kind of doing it with phone calls and meetings. So we're raising the money and the receptions we're getting. We're meeting all the people. We've met with officials. I met with all the officials around, very positive responses. As I meet with citizens, I'm going to events, very positive. So I think the campaign's going good. People say that the sign we designed, they like. So, and the women like it. And if the women like it, that's all you need to know, because they're the discerning taste on the sign. So overall, it's going very well.
Right. If folks who are in Baldwin County and part of Mobile County that are not in your district, if they want to help out, how can they do that? How can they contact you?
Well, they can always contact. I have a Facebook page. They can go to my Facebook page. Just if you go look for Pete Ream for Alabama Senate, that's the Facebook page. Or we have a website, Ream for Alabama, and it's spelled R-I-E-H-M as in Mike, Ream for Alabama. So you can go to the Facebook page, go to the website. There's all sorts of information. Of course, we always need donations. We always need money. But we need time as well. I mean, in addition to treasure, we need time. We need folks who can man the polls as poll greeters. We need people who can help us walk neighborhoods. We can help us with people who will canvass. We'll have people with phone banks. You know, a lot of it isn't so much convincing the folks. It's just reminding them to vote. We'll be having phone banks to just remind known voters, please go vote. If you go vote, we win. And so we have all sorts of volunteer opportunities, and we always have
Pete,
fun doing it.
You know what the music means.
Yep, I know what the music means. And George, I can't thank you enough for having me on.
All right, and I encourage our folks to listen to your radio show every, Thursday night?
Every Thursday night at 8 p.m., Common Sense Radio. We've been on for 10 and a half years.
All right, folks, Pete Reeves.
Thanks.
Bye.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. We appreciate Pete Ream coming on, and we encourage you to, in November, to get out there and support him. And also, before the election, right now, is the time for campaigning. And he needs money, he needs bodies. So even if you're not in that district, please get out and help Pete Ream, because we as Baldwin Countyers cannot depend on Vivian Fenix to represent us in Montgomery. We need one of our Republican colleagues to do that, folks. Now we're waiting for our other guest. That is John Merritt, our Secretary of State. I know he told me he had a meeting until 7:30, so as soon as he get out of the meeting, he will call in, and then we'll talk to him. But I was talking earlier, folks, about the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court have agreed to take on that case regarding, the censors. Then you do redistricting, okay? And now Alabama still have 7 districts. They have 1 minority in District 7, Congressional 7. So the Democrat took us to court. And the 3-panel appeals court judge went along with them. But then an emergency request to the Supreme Court, they blocked that. So that's why we had our election, okay? All right, he's on the line. So let's welcome, folks, our Secretary of State, John Merrill. How you doing, John?
George?
Great, great, John. We're having fun here.
That's what I want to hear. You're down there with the president.
All right, temporarily, then I'll be back in Alabama.
as soon as you get back, it'll be a day for celebration. No doubt about that.
I got you.
I'm going to be with the president next week in Washington.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, there's a big conference, America First Conference, Monday and Tuesday. The president will be there Tuesday. We'll be getting together then.
Oh, great, great. Say hello to him from all of us Alabamians.
I'll certainly do that. You know, we've had so many people making positive comments about President Trump's commercial that he did for us to help us promote voter registration and photo ID. And one of the most popular ones that we've had, we have distributed more posters for him than anybody that we have had help us with the project, including Coach Saban.
Oh, wow. Great. Great, great. John, I see the president, when he have his rallies, he's got more people there now than he did while he was a president.
That's because there's unbelievable. More people irritated now than they were before he became president. And that's why we know he's going to work as hard as he can to correct that situation and send Joe Biden back to Delaware.
I agree. I agree. So, John, what is happening with the Secretary of State's office? I know you have a lawsuit against you regarding redistricting.
Well, as you know, we do, George, and our office is not the office that's responsible for drawing the lines, but for whatever reason, the Democrats thought it was a good idea to sue me. When I was in the legislature, they didn't sue me, and I helped draw the lines then, so I can't understand why they can't figure it out. But nevertheless, we're doing everything we can to preserve, protect, and defend the integrity of the process. I know that the legislature did what they thought was right then. I know that Steve Marshall is going to do a good job having his team defend the state and the state's position on reapportionment. And, of course, our job is to make sure that the lines that have been drawn are adhered to in redistricting for the Congress, for the legislature, as we move forward.
Right, right. Now, the Supreme Court, they put a block on the appeals court when they tried to stop us from that. And now they've agreed to hear, I think, October the 4th. Regarding that ruling, and that's going to be a monumental ruling.
No doubt about it, my friend. And
you know,
we'll look forward to that because that's going to be a great day for America. As, George, as I've told many people, you know, I've been sued 29 times as your secretary.
Wow.
27 of those have been fully adjudicated. Two right. of them are still in the court system. The one that we're talking about is one of them. Of the 27 that have been adjudicated, we are 27-0. And as we already have invoked Coach Saban's name, there's only two words appropriate when you got that kind of performance, and it's Roll Tide.
Right, Roll Tide. All right, John, you've also been very active nationally with the Secretary of State's Association. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we have, George, and we have been promoting election integrity, security, and transparency, not only in Alabama, but also throughout the nation. As the president of the Republican Secretaries of State for the United States in 2020 mm-hmm. and 2021, we continue to promote election integrity issues with different groups of people, including the Heritage Foundation. I'm working with them with the project with President Trump now, and we want to continue to do what we can to improve these election issues in every one of the states in the union, because unless mm-hmm. we are all safe and secure, none of us are.
Right, right, right. Now, John, with the Trump administration, I'm hoping that you be involved in the reelection process for 2024. I really am.
Well, I certainly will be if he wants me to be. And what we want and what we demand is that we have a president who listens to the people and who fights for the protection of our freedom and our liberty in the United States. And that's in all 50 states. and not just allowing the states like Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Florida, Tennessee to fight for what's right, but to back us up the way that he's supposed to in that office. And that's the reason why we need another president.
Right. Now, John, tell us about this fake news about the voter suppression. Where is their voter suppression? I mean,
well,
it's
George,
unbelievable.
If you'll show me, we'll both know, because I've been trying to fight against it ever since I've been the secretary, and I've been in office for 7 years and 6 months today. And since we continue to break all records for voter registration, of course, since I became the secretary 7 years and 6 months ago today, we've registered 2,088,987 new voters. We now have a record 3,657,255 registered voters. No state in the union can match what we've done in voter registration, but I know you're always proud, George, when I tell that in that same period of time, we've removed more than 1.45 million people from the voter rolls because those people have moved away, they've passed away, or they've been put away. And whenever that happens, they need to come off the rolls. But we've also broken every record for voter participation in all the elections that we have had until the one that was cast on May 24th. But we're looking forward to breaking the election record for gubernatorial cycle once again on the 8th of November. So we're just excited about where we are and what we're doing to promote election integrity, transparency, and accountability, and make it easy to vote and hard to cheat in Alabama and throughout the nation.
All right. John, another thing, in Florida, they have voted by party only, okay? And I remember when I was a senior vice chairman of the state party in 2010, 2011, we didn't go along with that. But I think it's necessary now that if you're a Democrat in the primary, you vote Democrat only. If you're a Republican, you vote Republican only. What are your thoughts on that? Because we're talking about changing that law now.
Yes, and you know in 2017, the legislature passed a bill that required that when an individual cast their ballot in the primary, like you were saying, that they're required to cast the ballot in the same election cycle for the same party. So you cannot cross over. That is illegal. But that has been fairly well received. But one of the things that they're contemplating now is having a binding agreement that if you register to vote, you register as a Republican, or you register as a Democrat, or you register as an independent. And then you can only vote in that party's primary and that party's runoff, because that's the ballot they'll give you because of the party that you've chosen to register with. And I think that that's important, that a lot of discussion take place in our counties and throughout the state, because when the legislature comes back in March of 2023, I think that's going to be a very, very important topic for debate and discussion.
Right. Now, John, we know the legislature have to pass that, and we who are on the state Republican Party Executive Committee will approve it. But the problem is when we pass that, the legislators, the House and the Senate, we have to get the governor to sign that, correct?
That is correct. I really think the governor will probably sign whatever the legislature passes in regard to that, because that's a key point of discussion right now that people are really concerned about.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard the same thing. So I think if they pass it, she should. Say that again?
It's going to be real interesting to watch that debate and discussion.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll just have to whisper in the governor's ear, John.
No doubt. because one thing Governor Ivey has done, and she's been fully committed to, is promoting election transparency and security and integrity throughout the state and the nation.
Right, right. Now, John, the NAACP and it's led by Colonel Bernard Simonton, whom I know very well, and I've talked to him many times, and he talks about voter integrity and voter suppression, and I said that's bull. I mean, what are your thoughts? When we come back, we'll get into that. Okay, John?
Yes, sir.
All right, folks, we're talking to Secretary of State John Merrill. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. We are definitely on a mission, and tonight we have at our guest, Mr. John Merrill, who is the Secretary of State for Alabama. John, we're so glad you're on.
George, you're always so kind to have me as your guest, and tonight is certainly no exception. I always enjoy visiting with you. There are very few people in the state that do a better job of keeping their listeners informed about local, state, and federal issues better than you.
Thank you, John. We appreciate that. Now, John, I was talking about the head of the NAACP for the state of Alabama, Bernard Simonton. And he's making all these allegations along with the other Democrats. And you know yourself, there is no voter suppression in Alabama, or citizens can't register to vote. What are your thoughts when you hear that trash?
Well, look, George, I think Bernard is a good person. I think he's well-intended. I think he works hard, but, you know, he's working hard on the wrong thing. And
right.
This is the thing that he needs to do, is he needs to understand that we all need to be pulling together instead of pulling apart. You know, one of the things that George Bernard is so interested in taking the tongue of the wagon, instead of pulling it up the hill with us, he likes to push on it and send it back the other direction, and that's just not very productive. You know,
right.
One of the things that causes a problem in is when you're trying to make advances and you're trying to make things happen, he's more interested in talking about why we can't do something and why we are doing it. And, of course, you know, we just believe that what you need to do is concentrate on making positive things happen in your community and for our state. And that's what we've been doing, and that's what we're going to continue to do. So Bernard, I think he wants to do right. He just needs to figure out how to do it. But he has absolutely no situation that he's ever been able to introduce to me where people are having their opportunity to vote suppressed in our state. Not one time has he ever introduced to me any information that has shown where intentional or unintentional voter suppression has occurred anywhere in the state of Alabama. And you think if you've been working on it for 7.5 years, that's how long we've been working together since I've been secretary. If you've been working on it for 7.5 years and you can't come up with something yet, you might want to try another path.
Right, but you know what I think, why he's doing that, John? He's trying to satisfy Washington, okay?
Well, you're right, because he wants to continue to try to receive funding at some level, and the only way to do that is by showing them that he's worthy of continuing to be considered as the leader of the NAACP here in Alabama. And that's what he wants to do, is for people to think he's doing a good job. But he needs to do a good job instead of just trying to make things up.
Well, I believe that, John. I've talked to him on several occasions, and I still don't understand his response. And I talk to people direct, and I said, well, show me, just like you just said, show me. And he hasn't showed me yet.
That's because there's nothing to see, my friend.
I agree. Even on this radio show, I've challenged a Democrat. Anybody out there, tell me what good has this administration done for the American people? And no, and they always bring up President Trump. I said, well, President Trump, he's no longer. He's been out of office over a year and a half. Tell me what Biden has done good. They can't do it, John.
That's because there's nothing there for them to see, my friend.
Right, right. I understand. John, what else do you want our audience to know that you're doing?
Well, we just want them to know that we're doing everything we can to protect the integrity, the credibility, and the transparency of the elections process, because that's what they elected us to do. That's what we've been doing. That's what their expectations are. We're going to continue to meet those, my friend.
Right. John, now your time is up in January next year?
6 months. It'll be January the 16th. I'll be gone.
All right, John, we don't want you to sit idle. Okay? You're so important to Alabama.
I hear you, and you're so kind to say that. And of course, we want to find a way to continue to make a positive impact and a positive difference in our state, like we have done since I've been in this role and like I did when I was in the legislature. And so we're going to continue to work hard to find a way to make that happen.
Great. Sounds good, John. And you know, you can depend on this person. You know that.
Hey, I know who my friends are, and I am honored to count you as one of them, George.
All right. Same here, John. And we appreciate you coming on. We're going to have you on some more because this election is so important.
Yes, sir. We'll look forward to that, and we'll get together soon.
All right, John. When I get back, we'll get together. We'll have lunch or something.
Yes, sir.
All right, John. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. John Merrill, the current Secretary of State. And you just heard it. He's not a horse, but from the old saying, from the horse's mouth. If there are any challenges to voter suppression in Alabama, well, folks, come out and tell him. One thing about John Merrill, he's a patriot. He's got guts, and we Republicans need guts, okay, to fight these Democrats, because they will lie, they will cheat, and they will try to tell our story. And folks, we can't allow them to tell our story. We have to tell our own story. But this Supreme Court decision that's coming out, they're going to have the oral hearing on the 4th of October. And before the end of the year, they should have a decision. Now, that's going to be very important, folks, because this decision should be positive for the voters throughout America. And what they're determining is, if the legislatures have total authority to enact voter laws in their state. Now, according to the Constitution, they're supposed to. But you see what happened in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, and several other states, Arizona, where you have governors, secretaries of state, and other government officials to change the election laws. They can't do that, folks. They can't do that. And with this decision by the Supreme Court, this will eliminate all that. Okay? New York is the same way. You can't make up their own election law. It must be your state Senate and your state House. They have to do it. And then it must be signed into law by the governor. That is it, folks. That is it. So this decision is very important. Very important. So we are hoping that it will be favorable for the voters, not just for the Republicans or the Republican state, but for the voters throughout the United States. Okay? And we'll get rid of these unsolicited mail-in ballots and all that and drop off. And if you don't believe us, watch 2,000 Mules. We urge you. I urge you to watch 2,000 Meals. That's the proof. They always say the proof is in the pudding. So watch 2,000 Meals if you don't believe me. And they're talking about there was no cause for the 2020 election to say that it was fraud. That's bull. That's bull. It was full of fraud. Okay? All right, folks. We'll see you again next week. So until that time, folks, Vai con Deus, everybody.